Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 231 of MMT Millennial Movie Talk. It's a movie, TV show, and WWE podcast, and it's just part of the flavor. Now we've got our we've got our main man with his shirt on, which is always a good start. I'm one of your hosts, Braden, joined as always by the wonderful Alex.
I'm Alex. I'm here. Yeah. Your host.
Yeah.
And the wonderful Michael.
Hello.
How are we doing? We have a wonderful original Vogue Professionals MMT trifecta here for the final episode of 2023. And
we've been doing this for 5 years, and I think for 4.5 we've been MMT, by the way.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, but it's, yeah,
I always find it fun to reference back to that kind of atrocious start.
I had to log into the Instagram. First of all, I had to download Instagram and then log into it the other day to post the survey.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at our things and realized how quickly we jumped ship from Vulgar Professionals into the thing. Basically, my parents said anytime I mentioned the title, change the title, for the love of God, change the title.
It was a very smart call for us to change that so quickly.
How did we even arrive on that?
Who knows?
Vulgar Professionals?
Yeah.
Do you guys not remember how Vulgar Professionals was born?
Wasn't it the
It's Wu-Tang. It's
Gambino,
a Wu-Tang
generator.
Movie. I think we put Movie Talk into the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Name generator. And we got Vulgar Professionals.
And we were like, that's
which
cool.
Is such a cooler story than, I don't know, I guess we're millennials. We're not really, because the cutoff is 96.
Yeah. Bless.
And that's us, really. That's our story. That's why we're here.
We are going to be talking about the best of the best with honors, the MMT Awards for 2023. But first off, Alex just dropped a bombshell before we started recording the episode. Now I need to know, Alex, you went and saw Wonka.
I saw Wonka last night. Oh, whoa.
It's just too fucking tempting.
Alex went and saw Wonka.
I did. I went and saw Wonka last night. The new movie from Paddington director, also Timothy Shamalama Ding Dong.
That's it.
This movie is fine. It's okay. It's good. It's fun.
That is what I was expecting.
We just climbed the ladder of words there. You got better.
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
In the end, I thought it was... it's a musical, by the way. I feel like I was like, I had no idea this was a musical. And someone said, yeah, but wasn't the other one a musical? I'm like, kind of.
Yeah, like they kind of.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I don't think of it as a musical when I think of it.
Yeah.
No.
Like, you know, like some movies you think of, you go, musical.
Yeah.
Like
there's songs like West Side Story with the movie, but I wouldn't.
Well, yeah, there's the Imagination one. Yeah. There's the
now that I think about it. There is a lot of songs in the Willy Wonka movies.
Well, yeah, but I never, like, you never just go.
Yeah, I've never gone, oh, yes, one of my favorite musicals is Willy Wonka and the
Willy
Chocolate
Wonka
Factory.
And the Chocolate
or Charlie
Factory.
And the Chocolate Factory. That's incredibly strange.
This one's straight up musical.
Okay.
Opens with a song.
Wait for them
the
to
song.
Kind of bury the lead there.
Yeah, right. This is not advertised as a musical.
Not at
like,
all.
Like, normally it'd be, like, new musical from Paul King.
Yeah.
Or, like, a musical from the Paddington director. But Wonka, it's 100% a musical. The songs are fine. None of them too memorable. Maybe one or two. The most memorable ones are the ones from the original.
They just do them again.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do Oompa Loompa, but it's different because Hugh Grant singing and telling
Hugh
a story.
Grant.
Now, if Hugh Grant is your point to go see the movie, wait, because he's not in the movie much.
Oh, okay.
He pops up about over halfway through, I reckon. Has one scene, disappears for a while, has another scene, then comes back at the end.
Wow. Okay.
So not in it a lot. I think maybe about 5 minutes of total screen time or something.
Damn.
Timothy Chalamet is fun. He's great. Some of the lines he says are really cringe. Not cringy, just like, I don't know. Like, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But, like, he says some stuff that's just not, like, some of the dialogue's just a bit corny. I think I'm looking for corny.
Yeah.
yeah, overall, I had fun with it. My sister's husband, who was with my sister and I to see it, none of us knew it was a musical. He fucking hates musicals. As soon as it started with a song, he was... It could have been the best movie ever made, but because it's a musical, he would have hated.
Oh my
like,
God.
He just hated it. And
have you asked him what it's like to not have a soul?
I fucking turned to him a few times in the movie. I'm like, oh, you know what we're due for?
And then sure enough.
Yeah, and then the song would start. I'm like, due for a song. Oh, and then at the end, he was just like, could go for another song, like as a joke. And I'm just like, the people in front of us fucking hate us. Like the cinema wasn't packed. We saw it at a 4:45 showing yesterday.
That's after school hours.
It's school holidays, though.
Oh. You think I would know that working in retail?
Yeah. I know that because I work in a school. So fair. It's fine. Go watch it. It's fun. 3 out of 5.
Yeah. I still can't get over the fact that they didn't advertise it.
It's a full-blown musical.
Full musical. That's so strange. Yeah.
Like, I think in one of the trailers, they like sort of had like the whimsical musical like scene, but yeah, not full out advertised as one.
So weird.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson's in it. He's got funny facial expressions because it's Mr. Bean. We love Mr. Bean.
He is Mr. Bean.
Can I talk about one more movie I watched?
100%.
I watched a slew of like brand new movies. It's funny because as soon as we did the MMT awards and we nominated shit, I watched a bunch of shit that should have been nominated. Namely, it's a movie, and I was hoping Chris would be here tonight, but obviously he can't be here for totally understandable reasons.
Very much.
So him and I watched it. I watched it again with him on Sunday because he made me watch The Last of the Mohicans because we're going on a bit of a thing where he's showing me epic movies and I'm also picking other epic movies, which is why we've watched a lot of stuff like Master and Commander was a one. Sorry, I'm getting violated by my computer with noises here. So Last of Mohicans was one. We're in a bit of a Daniel Day-Lewis thing, and Daniel Day-Lewis is in this. This is about three brothers. One of them's an adopted white. Well, no, sorry. It's not three. It's two brothers, one father, one of his sons. Like they're Native American. They're the last of these tribes. One of them, like two of them, are Indians. Their father and son, but the father adopted his what he calls his white son, which is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
He's been taken up and raised in this Indian tribe, and it's about them going on an adventure, trying to save some women, trying to defeat some French working with some savages, and it was a really good movie. Really enjoyed this one. Directed by the same guy that did Heat, so it's really good. Nice. Really enjoyed that. But sorry, I thought I just mentioned that. I want to talk about this other movie that came out. It's a 2023 release.
Whoa!
It's Alex's favorite movie of the year.
Oh,
sorry. Sit back and relax, kids. We're heading back to school. We're talking about The Holdovers.
I have seen about this one.
I know. Has anyone heard of The Holdovers? Giamatti?
I've heard about it, but that's about it.
It's about a cranky ancient history teacher who has to stay at a New England boarding school over Christmas to look after a student who can't go home to his family and has to hold over the Christmas break. And so the teacher's been assigned to look after him during this period. This cranky teacher who hates these rich kids because they get away with anything. He's got a history with being fucked over by rich students.
Okay.
This
does look like the exact type of movie that would be so up your alley.
Me, it's so character based, and that they're also staying with a cook, and the cook's last name is Lamb, L-A-M-B.
Oh, so you felt represented.
Yeah, by this African American cook. I really connected with her on all the levels. Yep. And they all form a little bond, a little family, they all connect, and he's a really cranky teacher and he's such a broken man. And so the students kind of, his life is leading him to be broken.
She's the she's the detective in
Only Murders. She's a policeman in that. Paul Giamatti's great. He's got a lazy eye in the film, and it's great. God, no, this film is so dialogue and character driven. It's a character driven movie compared to like a plot driven.
Nice.
Movie, you're just following them, and I thought these characters were so fucking well written and so well acted. I cried, I laughed. There is a handshake in this movie that's more effective than 99% of hugs in movies.
Okay.
And
it's like the Predator high five?
Almost. that's the 1%. Yeah. it's a truly excellent movie. It's so well shot. The cinematography is outstanding. It very much feels like a modern day Kubrick film with large wide shots showing the sets and the locations they're shooting on,
yeah,
as well as a lot of fades between scene transitions.
Okay.
Which Kubrick did a lot, especially in The Shining.
So I was just seeing a clip from the trailer just then, and yeah, I can 100% see that sort of like visual style.
Mm.
And the fact that it's set in the 70s,
yeah,
as well, definitely aids that, which is cool.
Yeah. It's fun. All the humor is so organic in the movie. Like there's no jokes. The humor just comes from the situations that the characters are in, and it feels so natural. That's the thing. It's like this doesn't feel like you're watching characters. It feels like you're actually watching people.
That's
which cool. are my favorite type of movies. And I like Paul Giamatti, and he should get nominated for an Oscar. And he should have been nominated in our awards. This should have been nominated.
Alex, why wasn't this on your radar? This is from the director of
Downsizing. Yep. So I mentioned that to Chris after the film, because Chris notoriously had a big spiel on the podcast about Downsizing. And I waited till after the movie was finished to tell him that this was from the Downsizing guy.
Did he enjoy it?
He loved it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good on him. So, well, hey, what a comeback. It only took 6 years between Downsizing in 2017 to The Holdovers in 2023.
Yeah.
So, probably. Know, not bad.
But yeah, I implore everyone to watch this movie. I acquired it. I don't know when it comes out legally in Australia. But
yep.
But you can acquire a 4K copy of this movie.
Damn.
So,
just keep that in mind.
Hey,
I also,
Hollywood, just fucking release your movies at the same time across the world. It's 2023. God,
right? Isn't it ridiculous? I'm not sure if we want to do an award in between talking about my next movie that I watched.
Yeah, sure. Let's break it up a bit.
This is our award episode.
We should actually represent some awards.
Let's do two.
Two?
Alrighty.
All right, we're doing the first two off the list.
Yeah, what are your first two on the list?
I'm doing it from the list of the SurveyMonkey, which is then a horrible service that charges too much money for a premium fee.
And we couldn't do our WWE questions. Anyway, our winners of WWE is Elimination Chamber from last year and Dominic Mysterio.
I knew that was coming.
I was waiting for it to stop. Yep. I was waiting for Seth, but...
Alex is getting into character.
Did we nominate LA Knight? Did we? I think we nominated LA Knight.
We did not nominate LA Knight.
Oh, we did knock him down.
We famously knocked him off the nominations list.
And I'm wearing a shirt.
You are. But you're
right. Did he get Dominic Mysterio off the
dom? On your skull.
Hang on. Then give me a sec. I'm going to go change into the Dominic Mysterio shirt.
Oh, my God. At least let people see your hair.
Oh.
Here it comes, folks.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Short, just sides. Here we go. Alex is gone. What was that noise? Oh, my God. Bless. Okay, well, Michael.
I totally did download some random one.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a show. Michael, would you love to hear the nominees? And I'm hoping this times out correctly with Alex returning in a different shirt. Here he comes. Here he goes. The best shows for 2023, the nominees were The Bear, Invincible, The Last of Us, One Piece from Netflix, the live-action One Piece show, Pantheon, Shrinking, Succession, and Ted Lasso. And Alex, as you've now returned.
Ted Lasso!
Yes!
Ted
Lasso.
This Very was respectful. Extremely close between three shows. Ooh. Ted Lasso won by one vote.
Ooh.
I know. Next in line was Succession.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
That's a good little pun, by the way. Next in line was Succession.
Next in line. Didn't quite get it, though.
Then it was The Bear with four votes.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, Invincible, Last of Us, Shrinking, One Piece with no votes, Pantheon.
Poor Chris.
Which means Chris didn't even vote.
It was the late edition, and yes, very clearly Chris did not even vote.
Didn't even want his own.
No, I feel like Chris probably voted for, like, Succession.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised if Chris didn't vote.
No, Chris did vote.
Are you made sure of it?
Yeah, I was told that Chris voted.
Good work. Well, next up in the awards, we have Best TV Performance. Ooh. And for this, we have a whole stack of nominees from Succession. We have Jeremy Strong, Sarah Snook, and Kieran Culkin. We also have Jason Sudeikis from Ted Lasso, as well as Hannah Waddingham. And then we have Pedro Pascal for The Last of Us. Bella Ramsey, also for The Last of Us. And finally, Jason Segel from Shrinking. And the winner...
Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Understandable. If Ted Lasso won the main TV award, understandable, people will vote for the main show that they loved. So.
Yes, and... In second place, tied with four votes each, Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. For
Whoa,
the last
one. Nice.
So they
Did
could
Succession
have stolen...
get any love in the.
So Sarah Snook had zero votes. So Adelaide Zone, none.
Adelaide Zone.
And then Jeremy Strong and Kieran Culkin both had three each.
Damn.
So, well, yeah.
If only the Last of Us fans had coordinated.
I know. They stole the votes from each other. They split the vote. I know they could have tackled and beat that bloody mustached American. That
bloody lovely mustached American man.
Hey, good man, but bloody hell.
Bless. Well, Alex, what's this other thing? Ooh. Ooh. Was that a lovely little transition theme?
What was that?
Michael's gone a bit ham on the sound effects. You missed a real good one earlier.
Sorry, it'll pop back up later.
Yeah.
If something really fun happens, I'll throw it in.
DJ.
Anywho, I watched last week we talked about a movie. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't really talk about the movie, but we talked about it getting nominated in the Golden Globes because it got nominated for Best Comedy / Musical, and that was May December. Now, I watched May December over the last week. Nor is this movie a comedy or a musical. And if it was a musical, I've missed some really important scenes in the movie.
Is there a notable lack of musical numbers?
Yeah, it's not a Wonka. It's not a Wonka.
It's not a Wonka.
A Wonka.
This film's not Wonka.
This film? There's no Wonka. There's no Wonka.
No Wonka. He's not even hiding in the background.
Do you know what this movie is about? Because I didn't before watching it. It is about Natalie Portman plays an actress who gets... cast to play a real life woman who 20 years ago had a affair with a minor, with a 13, maybe 14 year old boy. She was 36 or something at the time. They both had an affair at the pet shop they worked in. And since then she's been to prison, had their child in prison, and they got married on the outside.
Interesting.
So it picks up 20 years later. They're married now, the young boy and her, but the young boy's not young anymore because it's 20 years later. And Natalie Portman's in town because she's going to be playing Julianne Moore's character in an indie movie.
Okay.
And she's here to do research.
What a lot of wild premise. A
lot of yucks in this one. This film deals with so many themes of like stolen innocence and... And like, just like, manipulation. Mm-hmm. And like, Julianne Moore's character's clearly got her own issues because, she projects insecurities onto her children so they do what she wants to do. Like, there is a scene where they go shopping for her daughter's prom dress, and she says to her daughter, "Yeah, see, you have a lot of confidence showing your arms. I would have never done that in my day. So, like, you know, shit like that. Yeah. And, like, when that happened in the film, I was just like, fuck off.
Yeah, that's the
like,
worst.
And, like, oh, it is... It's not the easiest of watches.
It doesn't sound
the guy, the person who plays the her husband now, who was the minor, but now her husband, Charles Melton. He's Riverdale. He's from Riverdale.
Oh, yeah, it is that guy from Riverdale.
He kills it, man. Is he
the guy who originally played that character or the guy who replaced the person who originally played that character?
I think he's the guy that replaced the person.
Gotcha. Because that was a whole weird thing.
Yeah, it was. He plays the grown-up version of the child.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, this person's just broken. This is someone who didn't have a childhood. They were 13 and 14. They had a child and they've been a dad ever since they were 14 years old. So they have this all these interactions and it, you just look at this person and they're broken. And there's a great scene where he's on the roof with his child who's graduating high school. And his kid offers him, his kid goes to do weed on the roof and talk like his daddy pulls out a joint and his dad, and he's just like, oh, do you want some? And he goes, I've never done it. And his son's like, are you kidding me? And it's just like, no, he wouldn't have. He didn't have, a 20s. He had nothing.
Yeah. Any experiences. Cause he had to drop everything in his own life. Wow.
Oh, that's yeah. It's heartbreaking. It's like the movie's pretty good. Like I say, the movie's it's a really good movie, but the performances are like what makes the movie really work. It's him, it's Natalie Portman, it's Julianne Moore, and like they're all great. But he's the standout by far. He's excellent in the movie.
God damn, that does not sound like a oh we'll just pop something on kind of movie.
Not a musical or comedy, Brayden.
No, it's most certainly not a musical or a comedy.
Yeah,
but, if that's a comedy, yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, 100%. And then the last one I watched, which is one that did get nominated throughout us doing this, just because I was like, we have to nominate or people will kill us. I watched Past Lives.
Yes.
This is I believe this movie is American made, but it's predominantly in Korean.
Okay, cool.
It's about two people who were childhood friends in Korea until... they're like the girl's family, they all went and moved to America, immigrated to America, when they were young. And these two kind of, you know, were like kid love, like best friends, spent all the time together. Mm. If they stayed together, they would have been together their whole life. But because they immigrated, it never happened. And so she's in New York and it picks up 12 years later where he finds her online and they get together, they start talking again and they can't see each other because neither one of them have the money or they're not in the right situation in life where they can go meet up with each other. He can't go to New York. She can't go back to Korea. So she goes, I'm spending so much time thinking about you. Let's put a pin in it. And so they put a pin in it for another 12 years.
Wow.
Where he... is like, I'm coming to New York now. And it's about them catching up and she's now married. And it's really hard to like give a proper premise because you're just following these characters who are kind of just going around talking about each other. And you can tell that it just would have been
would have been so.
Yeah. And there's a whole premise and theme of the film about people's past lives. Like if your souls and past lives keep having interactions until eventually you're together.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is that they just go, what if this is one of our past lives where we're not meant to be together here, but we're so close.
Oh,
I know. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's a really great movie. It's really sweet. It's a good bloody film. And you know what? It's one of those movies where you so easily could have made her now husband a douchebag or like not good enough.
You could so easily just making them really unlikable. So you're like, yes, I just want them to get together.
He's so likable. He's so understanding. He's like, look, I'm aware why this guy might be here.
Mm.
but you know, he's come all this way to see you. Go see him. I trust you. Oh. Like,
oh, we love a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a douchebag.
It's so rare to see. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sounds like crazy. A wonderful slice of life film.
I know. It's beautiful.
That just sounds lovely.
Everyone should watch it. I mean, I'm sure everyone has fucking watched it.
Well, yeah.
Well, clearly,
for those of us who have not, we need to put it on our list because that sounds wonderful.
Pop it on. It's delightful.
See, now that's a Pop It On movie.
That's a Pop It On movie.
And speaking of Pop It On movies, I think it's time for just
Michael.
A bit of fun.
Michael, what'd you do?
Have a wonderful award called Just a Bit of Fun, and it's awarded to those films that were just a bit of fun. The nominees that people voted between were Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Fast X, Gran Turismo, and TMNT Mutant Mayhem. And the winner was...
Congratulations, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves.
We love it. We're here for it. Oh, excellent. Well deserved. Out of nowhere.
In second place by a vote is TMNT.
Hey, nice.
And behind that with one vote, Fast X. Everyone got a vote this round.
I'm glad, which is nice. I'm glad everyone got behind Dungeons and Dragons there, because like,
mm-hmm.
what a feat of, I can't believe, like what? It's just a bit of fun.
It was a bit of fun.
God damn. Next up,
yeah,
we have Best Streaming Movie.
Ooh,
those films that skipped the cinema.
This is a Pop It On.
This is a Pop It On, quite literally, because you're at home and you can't choose.
I just want to say we're saying Pop It On, not Pop It On.
No, this is definitely a Pop It On.
This is a Pop It On.
This one's a Pop It On.
The Indian side to your curry and rice.
And the nominees for Best Streaming Movie were The Killer, Tetris, Nimona, Extraction 2, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And the winner was...
The Killer.
Whoa.
Whoa. By a lot. By a lot.
Understandable.
By a lot. The Killer. Everyone got a vote. That's a Fincher, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fair. I should definitely watch that. Hey.
Probably should watch that.
Goddamn.
Based on a graphic novel too.
Even more so.
Yeah, there you go.
Even more so.
There you are.
Almost irresponsible that you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also a little parting of the kimono. I am trying to put together a list for like green lights. Like, here were our favorite books of 2023 that released. You should check them out. And I'm looking at everything I've read this year so far. None of them have been things that have released in 2023.
Oh.
So I have a week and a half to read only things from 2023 and actually catch up on some stuff that released this year. So
I just asked your fellow workmate to give you things.
I'm going to get their opinions as well. But again, that means like maybe like five different things. So we want a decent list. So, and none of them read anything superheroes, so I have to read something.
Fair enough.
Bless. God damn. Very cool. What else?
We can do one more. Oh, yeah. Does everyone...
Do one more.
One more. Here we go. We've got... Wait, this didn't suck? Which is another fantastic category that we have, which is films that people expected to suck.
But they didn't.
And the nominees were... Saw X, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, The Marvels, and Transformers, Rise of the Beasts.
Mm.
And the winner was...
Saw X.
Way, wow.
Michael.
a big upset. Because I was definitely expecting Dungeons and Dragons to be getting this one.
Yeah, I thought that was Dragons would.
Yeah, 3-vote difference, and Saw X killed it.
Yeah.
Should have sucked.
Saw X definitely should have sucked.
And it's the only positive, like Saw non-rotten. Movie. It's the only fresh Saw movie.
Insane.
So, and it's a great movie. People should watch Saw X. Michael, you should watch Saw X.
I really do. I really do need.
I respect their ability to, like, just commit. They're committing so hard.
Well, they announced Saw 11 for next year now.
God. They're not going to call it Saw XI?
Probably. They probably will.
No, I don't have some shitty subtitle.
Dungeons and Dragons came second with 6 votes compared to Saw X's 9.
God damn.
So, yeah.
Very nice indeed.
Yes. Well, what else has everyone been watching? I can throw in Squid Game the challenge.
I do actually want to hear more about this Squid Game challenge thing. Because you showed us a clip from it before. And just from a fundamental level, this is completely stupid, correct? Like,
it's so entertaining, but though.
Netflix themselves missed the point of what Squid Game was trying to say.
Yeah, but I'm glad they did, because we've got a really fun show.
It's fair. That's fair.
It's like, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, man.
I'm enjoying the shit out of Squid Game, the challenge, the show.
Squid Game, the challenge, musical. The show, the musical, as nominated. Bless. No, so from what I can gather, it is just, if Squid Game was real and people didn't die.
Yeah.
And it was cut together less like a drama and more like a reality show.
Yep, 100%. People don't die. They just all fight for $4 million. And they're all in the room, and they do the challenges from the show with a little bit of extra ones thrown in between. One of the challenges they don't do, but they make everyone think they're doing it, so they get into teams, but it doesn't end up being... But it doesn't end up being that. It ends up being something else, which throws a spanner in the works, and it's a bit of fun.
That's a bit of fun for those who watch the entire show.
Yeah, they've got people that you root for. They've got people that you don't root for. And they do, you know, it's a reality show. The producers do a real good job at turning it all on their heads and that.
Yeah. From the 5-minute clip that you were showing us beforehand, there was a very sweet, like, kind of elderly woman crying, which was like, oh, this seems so wholesome. And then you showed us, like, the most horrible dude ever.
Yep.
Full like, gaslight.
Just the shittiest gaslighting dude. Oh, my God. And the juxtaposition between those two people in that show, from that one clip, was wild.
Awful.
But, I mean, like, I guess if you want more Squid Game in your life. Or if you just want a new reality TV show.
Something to see.
Yeah. What would you say your favorite reality TV show of the year has been, Alex?
Fuckboy Island. Not even a fucking...
Was that this year?
Yeah, F Boy Island.
Did you and Jay say something about another season of it coming out?
They're doing another season.
Oh my god!
Another season. They were at the TikTok Awards. They were doing all the votes and shit.
Ah,
bless.
Humor yourselves. I need to turn the aircon on here.
Okay, you get it. Yeah, that camera is cooking.
I'll throw a couple out there that I continuously forget have been sitting in my activity that I've watched for like weeks ago.
Nice. So
a while ago, me and Jim watched Catch Me If You Can.
Bit of fun.
And then we watched an Adam Sandler movie the other
day. Okay.
Called Just Go With It.
That sounds familiar.
So it's Just Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah.
And he's this plastic surgeon who pretends that he has his wedding ring from the day he didn't get married in the end. And he makes people think that, you know, his wife's bad, rah, 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 and they sleep with him. And he meets this young girl and they go on vacation, and Jennifer Aniston plays his like ex-wife, and then they end up falling in love at the end.
Yeah.
And who couldn't see that coming?
Wow. Just looking at it, this is a film that released in 2011.
Yeah.
And it oozes the energy of a film that was released in the early 2000s to late 90s.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, blah. And like the girl that he's trying to get with is like the young, good looking one.
It wouldn't be the worst.
Shots, and there is a considerable amount of close-ups on her body in this movie.
Yeah,
doesn't shock me for an Adam Sandler movie.
Michael, humor me and go to the IMDb page for Just Go With It for a second. I want you to immediately see just how much this movie is focused on just showing you this young woman's body. Because the first thing that appears is a clip from the film, which is just her exiting the water in a very skimpy bikini.
Yeah. That was a random pick on a Saturday night that we just.
What did we watch?
Just Go With It.
Oh, awful movie.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is not great.
I feel like I watched it not long ago.
God, what are y'all doing?
I just found it. Yeah,
I'm fairly sure Gemma just found it, and I literally told her, I don't care what you pick. How does this look? I was like, oh, give it a whirl.
Give it a whirl. Yeah, pop it on. Why not? Give it a shot. And then you're like, yeah. There's a lot of tits in this movie.
But yeah, that's it from my side, really. Not a whole lot being sort of busy with different things. Don't really sat down to watch a lot.
That is very fair. That is very fair. I feel that. But.
What if I feel like I might have more. Hang on, go. Just break and keep going.
What was the most overhyped movie of 2023 is one of the categories
we did in our
MMT Awards. And the nominees were Napoleon, Ant-Man Quantumania, The Flash, The Little Mermaid, and Five Nights at Freddy's. And the winner was...
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Yeah.
I believe there's been
a news regarding this today, by the way.
But this is heavily relevant right
it
now.
It is. It took me a hot minute to process in my head, but I do.
A little someone got
about.
Found guilty.
Guilty. Yep. The court verdict is in. We now can officially know how to feel about the actor behind Kang and that guy from Creed 3 and the person that the Marvel Cinematic Universe was sort of putting all of its chips in the one basket for.
Well, Marvel's now fully dropped him and everything.
They fired him as soon. I reckon they had that ready to go as soon as that verdict.
There was someone in that courtroom with their thumb over the send button on a text.
What they did say had two buttons. They had guilty, not guilty.
It was the guy with the two buttons with the sweating meme.
in Oppenheimer too, like which one? Like,
oh my god, yeah.
It's a weird thought. Just take your minds back to the start of the year.
Oh, it was everything.
This year was meant to be the year of Jonathan Majors. And we started with a bang from Creed 3.
Have you ever seen a quicker rise and fall in Hollywood?
It is insane. It's so strange.
The man went from being in. He's also got a movie that's currently circulating, and he was going. He was getting a lot of Oscar buzz for.
Oh wow!
Not anymore.
What was that?
I don't know. I don't support abusers.
Yeah, very fair.
Unlike you, Michael.
Magazine Dream.
Probably that. That was probably. That sounds like it.
Never heard of it. Anyway. Yeah. Never have I seen someone who would have been nominated like winner of like the Rising Star Award for a year, like exploding onto the scene, had like their life was set for the next like 5 to 10 years, like coasting, easy.
He just needs to keep his head down and get just. Ride the Marvel wave for like 7 years.
Man. But blow it up now, Marvel. Blow it up.
Yeah, at this point now, Marvel do need
what
to
I want.
Just
this
commit
is what
to
I want them
whatever.
To do. I want them to, and I'm sorry, everyone. Sack off Avengers. Sack off everything. Keep Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like literally anything else. Look, Benedict Cumberbatch, you're great. I actually want to see you just go do more dramatic shit now, other than more Doctor Strange movies.
You're just a good actor.
Yeah, just like get cancel these guys' contracts except for Holland. Give me keep Tom Holland if he wants to keep doing Spider-Man, and just make X-Men and Fantastic Four for the next couple years. Focus solely on those two and make them their own things.
Can you imagine if they just dropped everything else and doubled down on just that? How cool would that be?
Yeah.
So what have we got? It'd be so refreshing. Moment, what have we got
apparently
to come out that we know of?
Apparently now instead of referring to Avengers as Avengers Kang Dynasty, they're just referring to it as Avengers 4 now. In the Marvel circles.
Maybe they should just not do it.
Easiest thing to do, sack it off, Doom. Doom's your villain.
Yeah.
Doom's your main villain going forward.
We're still getting another Deadpool, aren't we?
We're getting Deadpool.
Deadpool.
You can tie that in with X-Men.
Have a scene where they
can fix everything in Deadpool 3 if they do a quick reshoot.
Mm-hmm. I would literally shoot a scene where it's that big arena from the post-credit scenes of Ant-Man.
Yep.
Where all the Kangs are there. Have Doom rock up and fucking destroy them all.
Oh man, that'd be so good.
Just electrify all of them.
That's it. Just fucks them all up.
So I need it to either be that, or I need it to be in Deadpool 3, they have an end credit scene, which is a reshoot that they do right now, and they add it into the film right now. And it's a post-credit scene in which we have Deadpool in a meeting room with Kevin Feige being like, look, I've got a great idea and we're going to fix everything. And that's all I need. You do that and then we can do whatever we want.
The next couple of months of Marvel news of how they're going to go about things now are going to be
I think Doom's going to be the way to go. I think they're just going to swap out Kang for Doom.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that is the laziest thing they could do, and I think it is what they're going to do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because we could have something a lot more interesting and a lot more tailored to that. I was just looking and seeing when D23 is next year, but it's not until August.
There's only one Marvel movie next year. It's Deadpool.
Deadpool's the only
Marvel movie.
Oh my god!
Okay,
I know, right? Smiles, amazing. People.
Yeah, smiles. That's good.
We're getting Deadpool 3, and from what I'm aware, I think no DC films.
Oh,
just think about this. Say after Deadpool, Marvel take another break, a good hard break. Have a good think, and then DC also take
maybe they can put some of their money into their comics.
Could you imagine a year where we don't get a Marvel DC movie or TV show at all? Could you imagine?
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
It would be great.
It would be refreshing.
Michael, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm pretty sure James Gunn's Superman film comes out in 2025.
Yeah. But hey, look, wishful thinking. But
maybe we could have a 12-month span. We could have a 12-month span where there's nothing.
With nothing, yeah.
That'd be nice.
When's Deadpool meant to drop?
Oh, meant to be July.
All over your face.
Interesting.
But I've heard there's been a lot of shit with Ryan Reynolds and Disney regarding Deadpool 3.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard they're keeping Ryan out of a lot of the shit.
Oh god.
Yeah, I know. Just sack it off.
Yeah.
The only reason I don't want to sack it off is because it's him and fucking Hugh Jackman. So.
It's him and Jackman back, which is a recipe for excellence.
Not even is it a recipe for like an enjoyable film. It's going to print the money. Mm-hmm. Just let them do whatever they want.
And we also saw the set photos of it happening in a fallen 20th century logo. And there's a Predator on set.
Is there? I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's been photos of a guy in a Predator suit.
Oh my god. Because they own that as fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Oh man, those are the things that I'm actually most excited about when it comes
to
Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds write it. You just let him do it.
Let him cook.
Yeah.
Is what I say.
Honestly. Oh my god, it's in that. I just looked up that set photo. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Oh, that's so good. And then the edited one where he did the Mickey Mouse thing. That's great too.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, man. Crazy. Man, yeah, I am looking forward to that. Well, it could be most overhyped movie of next year. But you know what it probably won't be? Most underhyped movie.
Oh my god, you did it. You segue.
Most underhyped movie for 2023. The nominees were Talk to Me, Thanksgiving, They Cloned Tyrone, Nimona, and Dumb Money. And the winner was
Talk to Me.
Hey.
And Brayden, the order of the votes was in the list you read them out.
Oh,
that's
really?
The order. Yep. I will say though, Talk to Me had 65% of the votes.
Understandable.
Mm. Very understandable.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congrats. Good on them. We'll send that email out. Let them know that they've won.
If there's anyone that's going to respond to us, it's them.
Yeah, that's it. But I mean, all of these, very underhyped. I still need to watch They Cloned Tyrone. I do want to watch
they
that.
They cloned him.
They cloned him, that's
did
it.
Did they? Are you sure?
Tyrone has been cloned.
But really enjoyed Nimona. Still underhyped. Highly recommend people go check it out. Good time.
Thanksgiving was good too.
Thanksgiving was good too.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
The sequel to Thanksgiving was a good one.
All right. With that, just reflecting back on 2023 in general, what has taken over your lives in gaming in 2023 this year?
The finals.
The finals is the new hotness that you're on.
The finals, Fortnite, Baldur's Gate 3, and I guess Spider-Man 2.
Nice.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Fortnite, in general, or?
I play a lot of Fortnite.
Okay. Like, you didn't, jump back in specifically for the new stuff?
Well, yeah, the new stuff's all right. The festival mode's good. The new Guitar Hero mode, we play a bit of.
That is legitimately the first thing that has made me go, do I want to install Fortnite?
You have to do it with a controller, man. It's so fucking hard on a keyboard and mouse.
Is it?
Because it's not like Guitar Hero where you got a guitar.
Yeah.
So I literally only have a controller next to my desk to play this game mode.
How does it play?
So the notes come down like Guitar Hero, and it just maps to buttons on your keyboard. You got your controller,
and it wouldn't be easier just having keys.
I found that the keys it automatically did were just too annoying.
Oh.
But it did D, F, J, K. It had G and H in the middle doing
That's
nothing.
Weird.
Oh.
Right? So I constantly would go hit G and F.
Yeah. I feel like they're expecting you to use two hands.
Yeah. But compared to this, where this uses what do you call it? D-pad left and right.
Yep.
And then X and B on the X controller. And that I find way more manageable.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Interesting.
I have seen that it's no strum. I have seen.
There's no strum. You just click.
Yeah. Which makes sense because you're clicking on it. So yeah.
But it's such a quick way to get up in the battle pass.
God damn.
Interesting.
So Josh and I have been playing a bit of that.
Very fun.
And then normal Fortnite, turtle skins are out. We're running around as the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, have they added Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, Ninja Turtle skins are in Fortnite, and they're all there, and I have all four of them. So I can be whatever turtle we need when people...
But we know
people
which
only
one,
buy one
you would play as.
Donatello, and it's a good thing that no one ever fucking picks Donatello.
Yo, they actually look really good.
Right, they're sick. I love them.
I am.
I love...
Color me surprised. I was not expecting them to look that good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. They use their weapons.
Those are very cool designs. I like that.
They got April O'Neil there, but I don't know a single person who's bought April O'Neil.
I mean, from what I can see, it looks like she's just a white girl.
Yep.
That's April O'Neil's defining feature in Fortnite. She's a white
girl. Just imagine playing Fortnite, you got a full squad of the turtles. It's the dream.
Full squad of turtles is a dream. Hilarious to see.
It's the dream.
Very nice.
God what damn. About you, Brain? What games have
I've been playing Disco Elysium, and which I'm enjoying. And it's the only reason I haven't done Baldur's Gate 3 yet, is because I'm trying to quickly finish Disco Elysium before I commit to the hundreds of hours of Baldur's Gate that I'm going to play. And then what else is there? There was Mikhail and I just enjoyed Case of the Golden Idol, which is a detective point-and-click mystery game, which we enjoyed. It's getting a sequel, which is going to be on PlayStation in the future. They showed a teaser trailer at the Game Awards, which was nice. And I did just see from today that the voice actor who played Max Payne passed away.
Oh, sad.
Which sucks. Oh. And I'm pretty sure he was in Alan Wake 2 in some respect. You know, because Remedy have all of their people in all of their games.
They've got their close mate.
People. Yeah. But so that is a shame, because that was one of those franchises that was like one of those ones that was always around when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a good time. It's been a powerful year, and it's been an incredibly powerful year when you look at best supporting performance.
Oh my God, he's done it again. Oh my God, they've done it again.
Best supporting performance for 2023 for MMT's awards. We have Robert Downey Jr. from Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling from Barbie, Glenn Howerton from BlackBerry, Emily Blunt from Oppenheimer, Hailee Steinfeld from Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Bradley Cooper from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Robert De Niro from Killers of the Flower Moon, and Joe Bird from Talk to Me. And the winner was...
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan,
Barbie.
Taking it away.
This was a two-horse race.
Oh, yes.
Robert Downey Jr.
Who can guess it? Robert Downey Jr. was the other one. Ryan Gosling ended with 10 votes. Robert Downey Jr. ended with 7. And that was the rest of them. Nominees that got 0 votes. I know they normally don't announce this at the awards.
Can you imagine if they announced that at the Oscars?
And, hey, yeah. No one liked you.
And Hailee Steinfeld and Robert De Niro, you both got 0 votes.
Ooh. Oh, bless.
So, yes.
Bless.
Shout out to Joe Bird. 2 votes. Came in 3rd.
Hell yeah. He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
An excellent job. And you know who did an even better job? Best performance. The nominees for best performance. They crushed it out here in their lead roles. And we're here to congratulate the winner. And the nominees were Cillian Murphy, Silly Boy Murphy, Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer, Margot Robbie for Barbie, Sophie Wilde for Talk to Me, Leonardo DiCaprio for Killers of the Flower Moon, Greta Lee for Past Lives, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Shameik Moore for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and T.O.U. for Past Lives. And the winner was...
Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer.
Congratulations.
One horse. This is a one horse race.
Wow.
It was Cillian Murphy. And then some other people got some votes. No, look, the other votes were very split across. So, like, he had 10, and then the next person with our votes was Margot Robbie with 3.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, that was a big
so
gap.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, but then we had, like, Sophie Wilde, Lily Gladstone, Shemek Moore, T.O.U. They all were
got split around quite a lot.
Yeah, got all split. Leonardo DiCaprio, 0 votes. isn't that weird? Both Leo and Robert De Niro from Killers of the Flower Moon, 0 votes.
Everyone's just gone. Nah.
No one saw the 3.5 hour Scorsese film.
Crazy, hey. Mm,
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Far out. Well, yes. That brings us to the best picture winner for
Roman
2023.
Reigns. Oh gosh, every year, guys, you know, we had previous winners being Dune. And who won it last year? Who won the MMT last year?
That's a great question.
Everything Everywhere All at Once would have won last year.
Yeah.
So this is our third one. So this movie joins the likes of Dune and Everywhere All at Once. Everywhere,
all the time, in different places.
At once.
It's
just an honor to get nominated on these nominees for the MMT award. There's no shame in not winning this award. You went up through some great competitions. Some movies weren't here, some of them were here. But let's do this.
The nominees were Oppenheimer, Barbie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Talk to Me, Killers of the Flower Moon, Past Lives, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And the winner was...
Who do we think won?
Can you imagine if they did that at the Oscars?
Can we get a crowd opinion who we thought won?
It's yell over here.
And the winner is... You don't like the bomb. Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. Oppie's got it.
Oppie had it. Oppie won it. Oppie had it with 9 votes. 42.86% of votes went to Oppenheimer.
Damn.
In second place came Past Lives, then Talk to Me, then Barbie, and then all with 1 vote each, Spider-Man, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Guardians 3. And then sitting down there with 0 votes, Tom Cruise, sorry, mate.
Oh, no.
You didn't get any votes for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Wow. What a year.
A powerful
year. What a season. Christopher Nolan will be sending you your award in the mail.
Yep.
You know, the only thing I don't love about doing this online anymore is I remember when the first annual MMT Awards, we had the cards and the notes and
we were dressed up.
It was a pageantry.
It was a bit of fun.
It was a bit of fun. Maybe one day we'll do that, even though none of us have equipment to do it anymore. We don't even have the equipment to do that anymore.
We could scrape it together.
We could scrape. It could be something.
It would not be nearly as...
Should we do it on an ironing board by chance?
Oh, man, that'd be a throwback.
One microphone?
We could like, scrape it together a bit. Like, I've got my Zoom recorder, which can take 4 mic inputs, but I think we've only got... Like, I've got my mic, which is XLR, but USB. I think your guys' mics are USB. So I have 1 other XLR mic, and Chris has an XLR mic.
Didn't we start by all sharing?
We had one
microphone. So we just set this up in the middle, and it'll sound horrendous.
Well, I still got the Yeti mic that we all...
That started it all. Yeti.
Yeah. It was Michaela's, but I've got the same model that started it all.
We could just record in the round and produce it as a ASMR episode.
Do you remember when we first did one with every time we did a show with Jacob or Gabe or Eli, all they heard was us on a Yeti mic that was turned so that it was like all directional.
Yeah.
So that we're all circled around it. Oh, they heard the worst audio in the world.
Oh my god, it would have been horrendous to listen to.
Yeah, I feel bad for them. But
I don't. They're doing pretty well for themselves.
Yeah, they are. They're having a good time.
I keep seeing stuff that Gabe keeps posting stuff on Instagram of what they've been up to with what publication are they with? They're at
Lad Bible?
I think
Gabe and Eli produce a show for Lad Bible now. It's the one that Tom Holland's been on it and stuff.
Yes.
Mm.
And then I saw recently that they voted The Batman as the best Batman film.
It's the best Batman film. But I like to think of it like this. It's the best Batman film, but it's not the best film with Batman in it.
Yeah, so literally shared to his story. Oh, sorry, Unilad. Unilad, they do stuff with now. But yeah, they shared it. The Batman is number 1 for Batman films ranked. And then Gabe's added, look, man, The Dark Knight is the best, but I'll stand by this. So, very fair. Bless.
Also, while we're on it, just shout out congrats to him and his partner got engaged.
Yeah.
Gabe,
that was cute. Yeah.
The other way.
Oh, yeah, you don't use Instagram and stuff anymore.
I don't have social media.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe we should write in the Discord. Congratulations. How long ago was it? Like, is it too weird now to be saying it?
It was only 2 weeks. It was only 2 weeks.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is his most recent post on Instagram, so. Okay, yeah, it was December. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, maybe we're good. But, wow, guys. What a year it's been. This is the first year we've had it completely online.
Wow, yeah.
I feel like we're still...
It's as much banter as what we normally have anyway.
I feel like we get more enjoyment out of it because A, Chris doesn't have to drive 45 minutes to get home.
Yeah.
B, there's no annoying pack up and pack down time.
Yep.
C, you can just have dinner as soon as that camera flicks off.
That's it. Yeah, I straight after this recording stops, I go out and have myself some dins. Do we want to very quickly feature some of the upcoming films of 2024? I want to run through here to see what you guys have some thoughts on.
Episode 1 on the 9th of January. We'll do it, Braden, now. But yeah. Episode 1 back, we'll do our normal top 10 of the year, then top 10 yes. anticipated.
Yes, as well. I like that. I just want to look, 2023, powerful year. 2024.
Really? Because I felt like 2023 was the first year I was really affected by the COVID shit. In terms of its effect on movies, I feel like this year
has been
a bit lackluster towards last year. But with saying that though, I just haven't gone to the movies much this year.
Yeah, I feel like it's tough because we had the hottest cultural moment of ages with Barbenheimer.
So yeah, I'm sitting here being like, oh, it's been lackluster, but we did have the two biggest films ever.
Really,
overshadowed everything else.
Yeah, it really brought a lot of attention to just that. But
it might be just because I feel like there was nothing this year that was Top Gun or Everything Everywhere All at Once. I feel like those two, don't get me wrong, love Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just felt like nothing really got me to those levels of I love cinema.
Well, Alex, next year they hope to fix that. Your friends over at Sony have two films in store for you. They have Madame Web and Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, they're gonna fix cinema, aren't they?
They're gonna fix cinema for you. They're gonna bring people back to the movies.
What else is coming out next year? 2024 movies. Obviously, we talked about Deadpool.
Yeah. Furiosa? Gladiator.
Gladiator 2 comes out next year.
Gladiator 2.
Joker
apparently
2.
The Joker sequel. Folie à
Dune Part 2 now. We're meant to have Dune already, but now we've got Dune Part 2.
Yeah, I thought that was meant to be. Was that not slated for
Strikes.
December? And then it got
Strikes
pushed.
Was I'm pretty sure it was meant to come out the last week the actor strike was on.
Classic.
We've got.
I keep forgetting that Florence Pugh's in Dune Part 2, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, and Austin Butler is in it. We've got the Garfield movie, Beetlejuice 2.
Whoa, for real?
Yeah. Oh. Wicked Part 1, apparently.
Oh yeah, the with Ariana Grande.
Godzilla times Kong.
Do we go see it? Is the question?
Yeah, I'm seeing Godzilla times. Fucking kidding me?
Okay.
There's also
I will go see it if we all go see it.
Kung Fu Panda 4 is coming out.
That just got a trailer, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Apparently Knives Out 3 is coming out.
Okay.
Okay. I hope so. Terrifier 3.
Oh.
These are all according to fucking Facebook.
What's this,
Facebook
Fall guy? That's got a cool poster.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling plays a stunt guy.
Oh.
I don't know. It looks like it could be a bit of fun.
That's fun.
It's from the guy that did Bullet Train, so I'm hoping it's a bit of fun. Bullet Train, the notorious winner of our award last year. Just a bit of fun. Yeah, there's also another one I was going to quickly mention, and that is... There's a couple. Apparently, it's Venom 3 is meant to come out next year. that's three Sony ones,
bro.
That
would be... Oh, my God.
The trilogy.
Marvel would have Holy one Trinity. Film, and then Sony would release three... atrocious films in a row.
Jesus. The sequel to Twisters is coming out. Yeah. Like,
for real?
Yeah.
After all these years?
Inside Out 2.
Okay. Oh, did you see that? There was a trailer for that Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski.
Oh, yes. If.
If. Imaginary Friend.
Imaginary Friend, yeah.
Yeah. It looked very, yeah. It didn't get me real excited for it.
I don't think Knives Out 3 is coming out next year. We've literally had no casting.
Yeah, I can't imagine that's actually happening.
I
saw the trailer for Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yes. How fun does that look?
It looks really good.
Eddie Murphy looks like he is 40.
I was shocked. I watched that trailer I put the trailer on because I was like, okay, let's see how much of a train wreck this is going to be. It looks really good.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it.
Next year is the new Quiet Place movie.
Oh, Quiet Place Day One.
Yeah.
The prequel, yeah.
Right. Interesting. Oh, Sony also want to do that El Muerto movie.
What's that?
El Muerto, as played by Bad Bunny, I believe.
Oh, from Bullet Train? Oh, from Spider-Man. Hey, man, give Bad Bunny anything. He's a good wrestler.
It's true. Oh, man. What a time to be alive.
Borderlands 2.
Oh, Jesus.
Or Borderlands as well, not Borderlands 2. And the new Mean Girls musical.
Oh, that I'm interested to see. Because
that's going
to
be interesting. That's
Broadway musical's great.
That's going to knock people for a loop, by the way.
Yeah, they're going to be so confused.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be like, wait, why is there a Mean Girls movie coming out?
Well, I don't think it's in the same universe, but you've got Tina Fey and Tim Meadows reprising as their teacher roles.
Yep, which is strange to say the least.
But John Hamm's in it, you know, Ashley Park's in it. There's some good acting in it. So yeah,
I think
good acting.
That's got some good potential there.
Yeah.
And I'm keen for Inside Out 2 as well.
Yeah.
Bless. Yeah. All right. Well, you will be able to join us again next year in 2024.
Oh, my God. We're going to be 27, everyone.
Shut up.
Shut up. I'm only going to be freshly 26, thank you.
Yeah, but you'll be 27 at the end of it.
True. Very true.
Not even this time next year.
Not this time next year, I will still not be 27.
You'll be 26. Mark and I'll be 27.
Yeah.
Bless. Michael, it's our golden years.
You can join the I was gonna make the darkest joke. I was gonna say you can join the 27 club.
I have a feeling next year you might be extremely busy, Brayden, anyway.
Yeah. We gotta start getting busy.
Big year.
We're gonna start getting busy.
Yeah, and by getting
busy, this time next year it's over. This time next year it's over.
It will have already passed.
Yeah, this time we're still recovering.
Oh yeah, we will be straight up recovering from a great night.
Yeah, what a episode that's gonna be when Michael and I pop up live mics.
Wait, now I know what day. It's a Friday, so I was like, wait a second.
We can pre-record.
Yeah. Well, no, because we will have an episode on the 3rd, and then we'll have an episode post on the 10th. So we'll have the pre-show and the post-show of...
Are you going to be on both of those? Please don't be on both of those. I think if you're on any of them, it's a bit...
Yeah, that would be very funny. We'll see. We'll see where we're at. Bless.
All right, everyone.
All right. Thank you for joining us for another wonderful year of a great excuse for me to still get to talk to my friends.
Just want to say I had a great idea at the beginning of last year and we never fucking did it.
Oh,
and
that was
recording Christmas commentary every month and then releasing them. I reckon next year we gotta go full do it because it's gonna be so funny. Watch Brayden get more stressed every single one.
we gotta think of a couple of common questions. We gotta sneak into each single one.
Oh, yeah,
and just watch him get worse and worse over time.
I think it'd be so funny.
That would be I think it's a great idea, and I'm so so surprised that we didn't do it this year.
I think this year we need to choose one date every month.
Yeah. Lock it
in.
It's gotta be a date.
Now it can, yeah, I think we choose, or like maybe the third Saturday of every month, and it's just 2 hours of our time.
Yeah. That sounds
something like that. I don't know.
That sounds like a plan. Lock it in, folks. Follow us on your podcast service of choice. Leave a review if you can. Subscribe over on YouTube. Like and leave a comment below. And add Michael on Facebook.
Please. Make sure to do it.
Do it. Or else his little soundboard's going to cry himself to sleep at night.
I don't have a sound.
Oh, wah, wah. And as always, for the last time of 2023.
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
And I'm Michael.
We're out of here. Goodbye, everyone.